Jerry Saul Show. 5. Roll tape. 4. Cue Jerry. 3. Bring audio up. 2. Stand by. 1. Play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I am so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's special guest is a friend of mine and I've been looking forward to this interview for a long, long time. The band, we've heard of them. If you've been up here in the Northwest, you've heard of them. They play all over the place. Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. And I have Johnny Limbo with me, Jerry Hoffman. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
I've listened to your music for years.
And it has been years.
It has been.
Yeah, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year.
Seriously?
40 years doing this.
Wow. Do you have any of the original band members still with you?
We have, besides myself, we have two others, that started, man, they're from the very beginning, 40 years ago. It's a long time.
Now, Jerry, your name's Jerry, but you go by Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. What happened? How did that happen?
Well, tell me what you think. Jerry Limbo and the Lugnuts? When we started, it was kind of straight 50s, you know, 50s, a few 60s. And Johnny was just a great name from the time. But actually,
you got to say it right, though. Johnny Limbo. You got to get it right. The Johnny Limbo.
Well, now you got us in New York.
There you go.
Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
Down on the corner there.
Yeah.
So, but actually, when we started, it was a party gag. You know, somebody had, we were working in a shopping mall, and I managed a men's clothing store, and there was a gal that worked just down the way, and she wanted to have a 50s, 60s theme party. And we said, hey, great idea. You know, a bunch of guys all working together. And so
were you already in a band? Did you already have a band
going?
No,
the band was not anything at all. We had all been together to parties. And we said, well, this guy plays guitar and that guy can sing. And this guy can play a tambourine or, you know, that kind of thing. It's just after about a month, I asked her, I said, hey, are we going to have that party? And she said, I can't find a place and I don't know what, da, da, da. So we took the idea and said, let's do it. We decided what we're going to do. And the funny thing here is we looking for a place to play. A friend of ours had just gotten a divorce, and he said, you know what? Let's do it at my house because all I have is a couch, a bed, and a kitchen table. He says, she took everything. Yeah. So anyway, that was jokingly, and he was fine with that. So we had the party at his house. In the in-between time, we decided that we would put together some little band just for fun, you know. And the idea was when you came to the door, if you were a guy, you had to slick back your hair, and if you were a gal, you had to have like a poodle skirt or something like that. So they knew the theme was already what it was going to be.
Right.
And probably we were into the thing, I don't know, a couple of weeks, and we decided to have this band. So we got together, and it was like, what can you sing? Well, I can do a Beach Boys song. Well, I can do a Ricky Nelson tune. Well, I can do, you know, that's how it came down. So we said, well, let's do this. So we practiced for about, I don't know, another 2 or 3 weeks at my house and came up with a band. We went out and rented a small sound system, put it in this guy's house. And when everybody showed up, they all looked around and said, wow, there's going to be a band? Yeah, we went out and hired a band. And only one other guy knew who it was going to be because we needed somebody to introduce us.
You know? Right.
So that's how it came together. And we had from the guys that worked for me in the clothing store, we had a guitar player, a bass player, a kid that worked in another store down the way. We knew he was a drummer, so he came along. Anyway, we got it all together, and when people showed up, we had practiced and learned 20 songs.
Wow.
20, yeah.
That wow. Was,
yeah. So anyway, when it all came time, we disappeared into the back bedroom and got into some costumes, see? And this the one guy that knew what was going on said, he said, ladies and gentlemen, get ready. He really did the big thing with the introduction.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, we've got a new band, and these guys are great. Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. And we come bounding out of the back bedroom, you know, in our costumes. And people just looked at us and went, oh, man.
What? So your first show was in somebody's house.
In somebody's house, in a living room that had a couch. That was
there you
it.
Go. That's there it. You go.
All the room was there. The police showed up a couple of times because the bass was going through all the walls of the houses in the neighborhood. But we did have our name then, too. And part of it was there was a guy that was in the band that helped found it in the beginning. And he had worked with a band in college at the University of Portland. And they were called like the Fantastic Johnny Limbo. So really, Johnny Limbo was already there, you know, and that was Johnny was a good name. Limbo was a dance, you know, and then he needed a backup group. So we said, well, what do you think of came 57 Chev. So we said, okay, Johnny Limbo and the hubcaps, the bumpers, the fenders. And somebody said, Lugnuts. And we went, Limbo and the Lugnuts. That's
there
it.
There you go.
That's it.
Wow.
And that was how that name was finalized over a pitcher of beer and a pizza at Giovanni's in Beaverton, Oregon.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, that was
that's
it.
When was that? What year was that?
That was 1978.
Okay.
May 29th, 1978.
So when you guys walked out of there after that very first show in somebody's empty house, were you thinking, hey, we could do this. We could pull this off.
Well, I don't know that we were thinking quite that positively, but we said, well, you know, maybe if somebody wants another party, we can do that.
Okay. What did you get paid that first night? Did you get paid?
Oh, no money. There was money out of our pocket to go get a sound system, and that was fine.
Sure.
It wasn't a big deal. We were all working regular jobs. So,
do you remember your first paid gig?
Yes.
Where was that and how much?
Well, we had...
Or are you still waiting for that check?
No, we got it. We got paid in cash. That's how little it was, actually. Yeah. We it was a place in Beaverton, and it was called a Jiffy Tavern.
Okay.
And we had walked in there one day and said, hey, do you guys have music here? And the guy said, sure, you got a band? And we said, yeah. And he said, we'd like to play here. And he says, okay. He didn't know if we were any good or if we were pulling his leg, whatever. And so we started there, and we made $150 a night.
Total. For the whole band.
For the whole band.
Okay.
And that's the band of eight and probably somebody to run the sound for us.
So that didn't even pay for your gas to get down there.
No, what we figured was it paid only for our gas.
Yeah.
Did you hear that little beep there?
Well, yeah, I thought that you were getting ready to break out another song.
That was my phone. I forgot to turn it off. Oh. Sorry about that. Anyway, so by the time we purchased some sound gear, and by the time we made that payment and I don't know, something else, we each made $8. $8 for a five-hour show.
Wow.
So there you go.
And you probably drove home thinking, we got paid for a gig.
Yeah.
You know, this is $8, but we got paid for a gig.
Well, and the bonus there was he gave us a pizza at the end of the night.
Well, there you go.
And and two pitchers of beer every break.
Life doesn't get any better.
It doesn't. And that's, you know, yeah, we paid our dues along the way, I guess, you know, but we still weren't thinking of this being anything more than just fun, which it still is. That's what the whole gig is about.
Did you know you were good? Did you know the band was good?
I don't think so. I think that individually we would say, you know, that guy can really sing. He plays great guitar. But as a group, we were still kind of trying to find, you know, what we were doing. And we didn't have all the equipment in the world. We didn't have monitors that we could listen to ourselves. And we didn't have a sound man that could tweak us. But we knew that everybody, there was a magic about just the combination of the people, you know, that were in the band, that it all worked that way. We were friends and liked each other. And it wasn't probably until, I don't know, the first really big, big show that we did was at the Red Lion downtown Portland, up by Portland State. It's a dorm now, I think. But that was the first time that we really kind of went, you know what, this could work. And we played 18 months of Sunday nights at this place.
Wow.
And that really kind of jumped us off into, you know, everybody was finding out about Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts and how fun we were. And that was, I think that was as much a part of it as anything. We were fun and we were different. Nobody was really changing costumes and doing shtick and skits and that kind of thing, you know. We were it, you know. So they came to have fun with us. And then as we saw that, we got better. We practiced more. We learned more. And then we thought, you know, we can do this. So, yeah.
When you were just getting started, how often would you guys rehearse and practice?
I don't think more than a couple of times a week because we were all working regular jobs too, you know.
Sure.
But it came down to a point where there was one night a week that was always rehearsal, and that was Tuesday nights.
Cause at your house?
No, after that it went to another guy's house. He had a basement with lots of room down there, so we practiced there. And that was always on a Tuesday. So no matter what we did, everybody gave up their Tuesday night because it seemed to work, and we'd practice. And,
yeah.
And so then as we got going, we would practice as much as we needed to or when we wanted to learn a new song or any of that.
Now, how many songs did you know at that point when you were first getting going like that?
Well, let's see. We played – a funny thing about the first time we played, we knew enough songs to play three sets.
Okay.
And three sets of about an hour.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's quite a few songs, really.
Okay.
It's, 30, 40 songs. But it was a five-hour show. And by the time we got to the fourth set... You're repeating yourself. So then we would play the best of Johnny Limbaugh. And it was a place where, back in that time, people maybe drank a little more and...
Didn't even know.
They didn't remember that we played that song 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
So, but...
And then if they did, you just look at them and said, no, I didn't.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm Louie, I've never played that song.
Now, what was the average age of your group at that point?
Well, older. I mean, I don't know that there was – I don't mean old. I was thinking probably late 20s.
Okay. Young.
Yeah. We were young guys, but as far as a band goes, we weren't like a high school garage band or something.
Mm-hmm.
We were older than that.
A group of people in their late 20s, how did you choose to play the music of the 50s?
Well, again,
The music of the 50s is the best.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just classic music.
It's fun, and like Dick Clark said, and you can dance to it.
Yeah.
So,
how did you choose that?
Well, again, this guy that had been going to school at University of Portland had traveled for a while with a group, being a roadie, down in the south, southwest of the United States. And they played that kind of thing. And they also did the shtick that we did. And we kind of formed it from that and said, you know what? That works. And, of course, I being the oldest of the group, right from the 50s, I love that. And I said, that's good with me.
Sure.
So we all kind of chose that. And I don't think anybody else was doing it, really, in town. And so it just became – I don't know that we purposely sat down and said, we're going to do 50s only.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a few early 60s also that people think are 50s tunes. And that's just where it was, and that's what we did, and that's what we still do. And we've added some stuff going into the 70s now too, but it's all stuff that you recognize and you go, I know that song.
I
can
remember
sing
that.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Now, you also said – use the word shtick. What's the shtick that you guys do out there? What is it you're doing?
Well, when I say that, it's probably a pretty loose definition of that. When we do Beach Boys, we dress up like the Beach Boys.
Okay.
When we did, in the early days, we did Sonny and Cher. And I was Sonny. We didn't have a girl in the band yet, so one of the guys had to be Cher. So that's shtick. So I think the changing of the costumes all through the show and doing skit kind of things. We had a guy that did Paul Revere and the Raiders, and he did a great job. That's what I meant. I don't think other bands were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They were just playing the music, and nothing wrong with that. There's lots of great musicians and.
Are you still doing that, the shtick stuff?
We are. We don't do as much as we used to because some of those people that, were part of those skits are not with us anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. They're just not in the band.
Right. No, I hear you. So how many people are in your band right now?
There are eight on stage, one female and seven guys. And we have a full crew of three to four, depending on what we're doing, where we are.
Okay.
Have our own equipment, our own lights, and which other bands when we started didn't have that either. So
mm-hmm.
That was always a plus for us.
So when you come into a venue here and you're doing your load in, you pull up there and you've got everything there. You've got your lighting, you've got your sound, you've got your band. So you just back up, unload, and start performing.
Open the door and push it out and go to work.
Yeah.
So and the crew shows up before the band, of course, and thank God. Because the band doesn't know what to
do. The crew is usually the first there and last to go.
Exactly, just like the song,
And so is the promoter.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, more with Johnny Limbaugh and the Lugnuts. Again, a short break. You're listening to Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. It's the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Back in a moment. More with Johnny Limbaugh and the Lugnuts.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
We are back. This is The Terry Soul Weekend Show. Today's guest is Johnny Limbo from Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. Now, you've had the opportunity to get on stage with some national acts, including Chuck Berry, Chubby Checker, The Righteous Brothers, just to name a few. How was Chuck Berry? He's got a little bit of a temper, doesn't he?
You know, we'd heard all the bad stories,
sure,
about how it was to work with Chuck, and we actually worked with him four times.
Wow!
And three of the times he liked us. On the fourth one, though, he just went ballistic, and
yeah,
for no reason. And that's what we had been warned about: is he just don't know. And Chuck, when you're playing with him, he arrives in town by himself. He wants a car waiting for him at the airport. He drives to the venue, and he wants a room and all of that. But seldom does he ever use that room. He flies back. He was living in L.A. at the time when we did the shows with him. So he just fly right back. He doesn't do encores. Hates to do encores. Don't ask him to, because that'll set him off. We played with him in Eugene at the Holt Center. We played. We actually promoted a show here at the Civic Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was called the Civic then. And then we did a show at Starry Night Club, which was a club down, you know, across Burnside. And then we did a show with him for Rose Festival. And on that one, he just, right from the start, he just wasn't going to be a part of what was going on. And
wow.
He literally kicked our drummer off the stage, the same drummer that had played with him three times before,
right,
and absolutely loved him. Had to move his amp a little bit because it was just, you know, about 3 inches too far the wrong way. Anyway, he was terrible. He was, you know,
really?
It was just awful. But for the three times before, he was great. It was just, you know,
yeah,
wonderful, wonderful time. Most of the guys, I think he's probably the only one that ever gave us any grief of any kind, yeah, you know.
There's a story that Ed Doherty told me, that Ed Doherty late promoted, you and I both know, that he told Chuck to wrap it up, and Chuck kept going, and Ed walked over and yanked a plug, and show's over,
yeah,
you know. And it's like, now you also work for Chubby Checker?
Yes.
That must have been fun.
Oh. Unbelievable energy. That
sure
guy, I mean, doing the twist, you know, but I mean, he did it. His opening, he would open and he did something like 20 songs in a row before he took a break.
Really?
I mean, just didn't stop. It was unbelievable energy. And a nice guy.
Yeah.
Really nice guy, at least with us. We,
right,
you don't know any other.
Righteous Brothers, Mamas and the Papas, Three Dog Night, Jan and Dean.
Yeah. Yeah, and
some that good was our stuff.
Jan and Dean was our very first national act that we played with, and it was in Salem, here in Salem. So.
Yeah.
And it was after the accident, you know, so Jan was, you know, he was not always right there. His,
sure,
his attention,
sure,
span would go away. But I mean, it was our first national, and it was great. I mean, it was really good. We had a wonderful time. Ed Doherty promoted,
mm-hmm,
our buddy.
Three Dog Night, Mamas and Papas, Johnny Rivers, and Ricky Nelson.
Ricky Nelson, yep.
Now, he must have had a good crowd, Ricky did.
He did. It was,
he had such a following, didn't he?
Yeah.
All the young girls.
Yeah. Well, yep. And it, you know, I mean, if there was, if you look up in the dictionary, teen idol.
There he is.
There's a picture of Ricky Nelson.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just like that. He was not a real personable guy. He wasn't a bad guy, but he just didn't talk much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hi, Ricky. Hi.
Yeah.
You know, like,
maybe he was shy. A lot of guys are. A lot of these people are.
Could have been. But, you know, if you ever watched the Ozzy and Harriet show, his lines were like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd come in the door and say, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. End of that.
That's,
you know,
it.
So, but yeah, I mean, what a... And we played with him just the year before he
passed,
5 months before his plane crashed.
Wow.
He went down in the plane crash. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was good. Everybody is, you know, Paul Revere and the Raiders, you know, Northwest legends.
Now, how long did you work with them?
We probably did, I don't know, three or four shows with them. I mean, they were great guys. They were, you know, and Paul, I don't know if you've ever met Paul.
No.
He's probably one of the funniest guys I've ever known.
Really?
He could have done stand-up comedy if he wanted,
yeah,
to, you know, but and a business guy, but great performing with those guys, and they were always, you know, pushing us because Northwest rock and roll.
Sure.
So
sure. Paul passed away, didn't he?
Yeah,
we lost him
a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah,
is,
yeah,
the band still performing?
You know, I don't think they are. No, I think when he went, that was pretty much the end. And at that point of the originals, he was the only one really left, you know.
Right.
Because he had quite a few different players through the years.
Now, you also had the opportunity to go on tour. And we're not talking just around the country here. We're talking, what, Japan, Korea, the Philippines? Kids. How'd that come about?
Well, it was a, kind of a USO show.
Oh, nice.
And it was put on by the Air Force, though, and they had hired a band out of Seattle. And before everything came together, the band broke up. And so an agent in Seattle called an agent in Portland and said, you got a band that can do this? And it was us. I mean, we were in the right place at the right time. Yeah, we did Japan, Korea, the Philippines. And
now,
did they
understand the music you were doing, the 50s music and 60s?
Yeah. Huge, huge fans. But we played it, you know, in nightclubs, Air Force nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know, and by the way, we traveled as lieutenant colonels in the Air Force.
Oh, excuse me.
So I was Lieutenant Colonel Limbo.
Limbo. And your band were Lieutenant Colonel Lugnuts.
Yeah, whichever their names were, yeah. But
Did you have good crowds?
Packed. I mean, it's
really
kind of, you know, it's Air Force guys, and they're there, and
sure.
What are they going to do? You know, and they hit live music, and they... They liked it, so
yeah.
It was pretty good.
And then you did the opening game for the swinging Oakland A's.
The Oakland A's, yeah, many years ago. But they
Catfish Hunter and all those guys, Raleigh Fingers. I remember them.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We played before the game actually, and then they gave us great seats and we watched the game. Yeah. Though that was fun. I mean, just one of those one time out things.
Sure.
And,
you were invited to perform by Nike. What was that about?
At the time, Phil Knight, Uncle Phil, we called him because he really liked the band, and he hired us for so many things.
Sure.
You know, if they'd have a bonus party, then we'd play for the bonus party. But, yeah, they flew us to, it was at L.A. that year, and, you know, we played a couple of shows down there, and they took care of us. They gave us free shoes, too.
There you go. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's guest, Jerry Hoffman, otherwise known as Johnny Limbo, and we'll talk some more about the Lugnuts. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 KSLM. Back in just a moment.
Hey, this is Donnie Osmond. I just want to say congratulations to my buddy Terry Saul. Terry is going to be opening up for BJ Thomas for a few shows.
Good job, Terry. Way to go, dude.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
I am back. This is Terry Saul's Saturday and Sunday morning show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today's guest is Johnny Limbo from Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. They've been around for, gosh, many, many, many years. We're celebrating your 40th anniversary.
40. Yep, yes.
Yep, that is awesome there.
It is.
What is the most embarrassing moment you've ever had on stage? Mine was, of course, the fly being down. And of course, I happened to pick a Las Vegas stage with Louis Anderson there when I was opening for Louie and my fly's down. And he brought it to my attention. Thank you very much. What is the most embarrassing you've ever had on stage?
I'll have to think about that. But when you say the fly down, we used to have a production manager that put a mirror.
Yes, the fly mirror.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. And so,
yeah, but you're supposed to look at it.
You're supposed to look at it.
I didn't.
On stage one time, one of my guys to my stage right came out and his fly was down. And I said, Lance, turn around, zip up. He's going, yeah, right. He went three songs.
Oh, no. No.
Finally, he zips up and says, why didn't you tell me? I'm going, yes, I tried to. I don't know. Well,
Louis walked out on mine, and again, I didn't know. And there is a fly mirror. It's a full-length mirror right at the stage where you check your fly.
Yeah.
And I'm out there and I'm doing it, and Louis comes walking out there and he says, you know, it pays to advertise. And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
Yeah.
What? He goes, it pays to advertise. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, turn around. And I go, at that point I knew. And it's like, oh, come on. And my wife is sitting down in the front. You think she'd have spotted it. Nah. And I asked her afterwards, I go, how come you didn't say this? She goes, I wasn't looking there. It's like, thank you, dear. Love you.
You know, I don't know if I can remember a most embarrassing, you know, you sometimes forget words, but I just...
What do? You just go on and fake it?
Yeah, I just throw other words in there.
Yeah.
You know, and make it Hopefully it'll rhyme when it gets to the end there or something. So they'll go, you know, and there's always somebody in the front row that's looking and going, those aren't the words.
Yeah, you know?
But
wrong.
So those would probably be the ones. It's just when I forget the words. But I've learned now after all these years, act like it didn't happen. No, those are the words.
Yeah.
I just sang the right thing. So
I learned that many years ago in radio. They told me, they says, if you ever slip and say something you're not supposed to say, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going and deny it.
Yep.
You know, but now everybody's recording everything. You can't deny it. But, yeah, just keep going and deny it.
And don't call attention to it.
Yeah, there you go.
I've told everybody that in the band. I said, you know, when the song's over, don't go, hey, man, I really messed up.
You know, yeah.
Just keep going.
Do you guys play with the audience much?
We do. And for us, the show is as good looking down there as it is, you know, for them looking up sometimes, you know. Things that maybe they don't think you see that they're doing. And I'll look at somebody and shake my finger and give them the old wink, you know, like, hey, I saw that. But, yeah, we do. We try to get them involved. You know, depends on the venue.
Ed Doherty, who you and I both know and we worked with many years, told me one time, because I didn't yell at Ed because nobody yells at Ed.
Yeah.
But Ed was at a show, and I noticed he was not watching the band. The whole time he's looking at the audience. And I walked up to him afterwards. I go, Ed, you missing the show? He goes, no, I'm not. And I go, you're not even watching the band. He goes, I'm watching the audience.
Yeah.
They will tell you if it's a good show or not.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
I do. As long as, I mean, when you look at somebody and you got their eye, you know, their attention, and they're having a good time with that, you know you got it. You know, if they're sitting there doing nothing at all, then they feel bad. You're going, what am I doing wrong here? I'm doing the same thing I always do, but they're just not getting it. So I always watch the audience.
Do you have to pick up the pace a little bit then? If you think you're having an off night and the audience is just not responding, for some reason, every time I would do stand up in Las Vegas on Thursday nights, I don't know why, Johnny. Thursday nights, they're horrible. I could do the same jokes on a Thursday night. They won't laugh. Friday night, they'll bang on the table.
Yeah.
Do you ever have a night where the audience is just not giving it to you?
It's not a particular night, but a particular venue or, sometimes with a...
So what do you do?
With a corporate party. Well, you try to throw a different song in there and see if you can find where it is that they're... You know, do they want slow? Do they want fast? Do they want, you know, what do they want? And if they respond to that, then stick with it a little bit, you know. But we have a fairly scripted show because of changing clothes and, you know, certain people have to be off stage while the band continues to play so they can change clothes and come back. And so sometimes you just have to stick to it and just keep working it, you know.
Do you have downtime during a show then? Do you take an intermission break or anything? Because if you have to change clothes, are you down at all?
Well, we do, but there's about three of us that change a lot, and we change during the set. The band keeps playing and doing other shtick, you know, other songs, whatever, that we don't need to be on, and then we're off changing clothes and we come back on and the show goes on. But we usually take a break, and as you get older, you know, we need to take a break, but you can't take too long a one because, you know, you might take a nap or something.
Done that before. Did a show a few years ago with John Davidson. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And John's up there in age now,
yeah.
And he says in the middle of the show, I'm going to take a little rest now. And he stops, and he pulls out this little blanket, lays down on stage, covers himself up, and he laid there. And I thought it was some kind of a gag.
Yeah.
And he laid there for about 15, 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden, okay, intermission's over. I'm ready to continue. I thought, what the hell did he just do?
But the audience all stayed waiting, probably.
Yeah.
When's he going to get up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just resting.
Nah.
Just resting.
Well, I don't think I can take that chance.
I don't think I'd want to take that chance. I'd look up in the audience and be halfway out the door.
Yeah.
Now, do you change outfits often? How many times do you do a change in the show?
I would say probably a couple of times a set, or if it's a two-hour straight show, probably four or five times.
Really?
Yeah, and it might be just as much as a shirt only, you know, but just to, you know, if we do the Beach Boys after we've done some other song, I'll go back and, you know, change into a Hawaiian shirt and put a lei around my neck or something. Mm-hmm. So that's the quick change. But sometimes it's a full-on change.
What is your favorite song?
I knew that question was coming, and I don't know if I, you know.
You don't have a favorite song at all?
Well, on some of the old CDs, I'm looking at one right now because you handed me one. God, this is an old one.
It's the only one I got. If you weren't so cheap, you'd send me one.
Yeah, Ben, I'll tell you. Okay, I'll send you a bunch next
time. There you go.
But these are some of the older ones. Well, I guess the songs that I like Dion, you know, songs. I love that. I like Beach Boys as another fun thing. Or if I like a good ballad. I like it when I can really nail a ballad. And after we did a show with the Righteous Brothers, I came back and I said, I'm gonna do a Righteous Brothers song. And so I like that. And right now, a song that I really like to do is Rock This Town, you know, the Stray Cats.
Yeah,
and it's
sure.
not even a 50s, probably not even a 60s. They were 70s, but it just feels, the energy of it feels like that old-time rock.
Do you do that in your act now?
Yeah. Yes, we do. It always gets a big, and after all these years, Louie gets a huge, you know, I mean, it's a song that gets people up right away onto the dance floor. And as much as thank you to the Kingsmen and all those that went before doing Louie, when I get that, I just go, oh, no, not Louie again, you know, but it works. And Pretty Woman is another one that works.
Isn't that a great song?
Yeah, it is. It just gets people up and moving right away. The Rascals, Good Love, that's a song that gets people up. It's just an automatic, they just jump up and start dancing. Yeah, I like them all. I really do.
Do you have a set list that you decide, okay, this is what we're going to sing tonight, or you just kind of maybe play it by ear and see what the audience is reacting to? Or
no, it has to be kind of scripted, you know, because of the fact that we
change.
Have people changing, you know, and so the people that run off rely on the people that are still there to do what they do. And so, you know, it's scripted. But we can change it, too. I mean, if somebody says, hey, I want to hear this one, if we know it and we feel comfortable about it, we can throw it in and do it. So it's not totally scripted. Only the sense that we need to change clothes sometimes.
Right.
And if we need to throw another slow one in, if people, you know, if we're doing a corporate thing and it's an older crowd maybe and they just want to dance slow a couple more times, we can throw in a slow song instead of the faster than what we were going to do. So
now, what do you do? You sing, you dance, you play an instrument. What do you do on stage?
Every one of them. You got it.
That's it?
Well, I sing.
Okay.
I front the band, but I'm not the only singer. That's the good thing about this band, too, is that everybody sings. You know, I'll sing maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 songs a night, and the female vocalist will do the same. And the front line of about 5 of us all participate a lot. That's almost like a skit, you know. Oh, there's a different person singing now. Not Johnny's not singing every song. Thank God, you know. But I do anything from a ballad, a slow nice ballad, to rocking out or shout or Give Me Some Love, you know.
Right.
It gets it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good for him to see an old guy up there rocking, see.
Can I ask you your age?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Are you going to tell me?
Yeah. 72.
Yeah.
I just turned 72.
Good for you.
So when we started the band 40 years ago, I was not a young guy then. I was 32 years old, you know. I feel good. I can still put one foot in front of the other, you know, and I can still move on stage, and that's good. And I like it when somebody says, you know, keep it up. You know, you've aged well. Well, that's because I can step up 2 steps, get on the stage, sing a few songs. And, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be, obviously. Yeah. But
are you having fun? Are you still having fun after 40 years? Is it fun?
Absolutely. And that's the one thing that seems so, I don't know, trite or whatever. Years ago when people said the first time, after 3 or 4 years, well, how long are you going to do this until it's not fun?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's kind of a, you know, cliche thing to say, but it's the truth.
Has there ever been a time where you think, oh, man, I can't do this anymore? Because for me, I know that a lot of it is the prep. And I know for you guys, I mean, you've got a lot of equipment. You've got a drive to where you're going, set up your equipment, do your load in, sound checks, the whole bit, and then you got to get out there and perform. And then when you're done, your day's not over.
No.
You still have to tear down, load out, and drive.
Drive to the next place, yeah.
Yeah. Does it ever get to the point where you think, man, I just don't want to do this anymore?
That part that you're just talking about, getting to the place, getting home, you know, the setting up, tearing down, that gets old. We do have a crew that helps us out with that. That's
sure.
That's good. But there are times, yeah, I think everybody, no matter what they do, say, I don't think I want to do this anymore. But it just doesn't last for just a flash, you know?
Then once you get out there and you belt out that first song and you see the audience react, you think, man, this is fun.
This is what I want to do.
Yeah. This is what I want to do.
Isn't it what everybody has always wanted to do that?
Exactly.
You know, we just get lucky and get to do that.
We're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with just our final segment with Johnny Limbo and the Lugnut on the Terry Saul Show. Back in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM. Back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. I am so glad to be back on the air, and especially here at Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Now, the incredible management team here at KSLM has given me the green light to not only air my show on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., but now, in case you missed it, you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for an encore broadcast. Now, if you miss both of them, I invite you to go to my website, www.terrysaul.com, and check out my podcast to listen to any or all of my past shows. Now, if you do that, well, I think you've got too much time on your hands. I have a lot of fun and exciting guests in the upcoming weeks, and we may just take this show with us on the road. So join us weekends for the Terry Saul Show, only on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Hey, this is Donny Osmond. Join my buddy Terry Saul. The guy is totally not normal, but hey, you gotta love him.
Welcome back to our final few minutes this morning. Our guest has been Johnny Limbo and Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. They will be performing at the Kaiser Amphitheater August 18. And this is not your first visit there. Matter of fact, I got to open for you guys last year when you were there. This is not your first visit there. Yeah. What are the fans going to see when they come down there?
Well, they're going to see you first, right?
Well, yeah, but we want to get them down there, though. We want to get them to the place, not chase them away.
So what is the show is, what, 6:30 to 8:30, 9
o'clock? Whenever you're done. You're done.
When the sun goes down or the guy gives us the cut.
The cut sign,
across the neck there.
That guy's still around doing that?
Yeah.
Cut. So who's in your band?
It's a great, great bunch of people, and that's what I would say. I'd call these people friend, even if I weren't in a band with them. They're just good people.
So give me some names.
Names. Well, let's go with besides myself, Lance Parsons, who's a vocalist, great vocalist, plays horns. Also, Rauk van der Veen.
Rauk?
Rauk, R-O-U-K-E.
Wow, that's
and he's our Dutch boy. He's our lead guitar player.
Okay.
And those three, myself and Lance and Rauk, are the originals in the band. And then we go down the line, and everybody's been with us even for, a long time anyway. So we got John Lemon on keyboards, Scott Johnston on saxophone. He's about our third sax, and he's just incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. We've got Jim Parker on drums. Guy's been playing drums since he was 14 years old, all over the place. Really keeps us going, the heartbeat of the band. We've got Grady McKenzie, bass player. He's the newest one in the band, and he's been with us for 3 years. After that, it jumps up to about 20, so people stick around. That's good. And then, of course, most important is the lovely lady in the band, and her name is Barbara Cecil. And she can belt them out pretty good. And
I've seen her someplace. I've seen her around somewhere.
She's actually country oriented. I mean, that's her. Probably given her choice of all choices, she'd be in Nashville. And she's done a lot of that singing, that type. And I don't know that there's anything else. She's been with us, though, for 20 years.
Maybe so. That's where I saw her.
Yeah, yeah, and she's just great.
One of the things that I like about you guys, Johnny, is that you're very, very fan-friendly. You love your fans, and they love you. And you will sit there and you'll talk with them all night long. I remember last year it was dark, and you're still signing autographs and talking to your fans. You love your fans, don't you?
Well, and that they're really what's the most important thing. I mean, really. I mean, otherwise we'd be playing for ourselves.
In somebody's house with a couch.
There you go. In an empty room out in the field somewhere. Again, I think they're just good people, nice people. They like to have a good time, and I can't tell you a time in all of these 40 years that it's ever gotten out of hand, where things just went crazy. Fans are, and they are the best. I mean, they'll stand in line to get your autograph and get a picture or whatever it is, and often I'll just say, what do they want to get a picture with me, A long time ago, if they said, go down to Safeway because the checkers are the one you want to watch, and they'll give you an autograph, but somebody said performers on stage, there's that. I mean, there's something about that, being on stage and have that microphone, you're special.
And isn't it, I know for me, and I'm going to ask for you as a performer, isn't it an unbelievable feeling when you're done performing to sit there and look at that audience and hear their appreciation.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that an incredible feeling?
Yeah. You look for that, too, you know, and see if you've done the job, you know. And when you see people standing up and screaming and hollering and smiling, you know, it is. It's a great feeling.
Do you do encores?
We do, yeah.
If the crowd wants it, you'll give it to them.
Well, if they have enough money, we... we do. We always do encores if it's asked for.
Sure.
Or only if we have to cut and there's nowhere to go. You know?
Sure. Now, if people show up on August 18th at the Kaiser Amphitheater, you have some merchandise there. It's your 40th anniversary. What do you got?
Right. Well, this year we have our 40th anniversary T-shirts, tank top, sweatshirts. I think that's about it. Unfortunately, I don't even want to say it. That I'm just in between, you know, CDs, so I don't have anything.
Hey, when you run out, you run out,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. But maybe you could run some few off for me while...
Well, you know what? I've got one right here in my hand, but I'm not letting this go for anybody. How many different CDs have you guys made over the years?
I think about CDs, cassettes.
Cassettes?
Yes.
What are those?
Yeah, I think about that. I mean, back then, I remember when we made the change going... Do you think we should try cassettes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We sold a lot of them, but that was what it was.
That's funny.
To CDs. So CDs, cassettes, we did just one vinyl. So I think total projects, maybe 12 different.
Wow.
You know, we did a Christmas album one time, but it just should redo that one, reissue it, because it really sold well.
Yeah.
Johnny Limbo and the Lagnet singing Christmas, and it's darn good.
Really?
One of our best CDs, yeah, I think so. So I'd say, yeah, probably 12 different projects.
And how many songs do you think you know?
How many songs do I know?
Yeah, how many songs do you think you know?
Yes, these questions, and I really try to put a number to it. I guess when we don't do 4-hour shows anymore, but if we do a 4-hour show, you're looking at about probably 60 songs.
Wow.
Or 70 songs.
Wow.
In that set.
Yeah.
But that's not all the songs we know. Yeah. I mean, you probably got to times 5 for all the songs we've ever done. So
now, are your families all involved with it too?
I guess they're involved to the extent that they let us do what we do.
Sure.
You know, and that's really important that wives and children understand that, you know, sometimes we just want to be kids up there still and
there you go.
Having fun with it. So, yeah, they're different areas of it. They're more involved.
All right. In our last minute and a half here, do you guys have a website?
We do.
What is it?
Yeah, it is www.johnnylimbo.com.
Stayed up all night thinking of that one, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we tried the Rolling Stones. And
they wouldn't let you have it.
They got more shows than we did.
That's
so,
it.
Yeah.
And if people would like to get in touch with you, I mean, you guys are still performing. You're going to be at the Kaiser Amphitheater August 18th doing a great show. I can't wait. Is there a phone number or something they can get in touch with you?
Well, actually, no. Online? They just go online and find it. Yeah, and online you'll find, you know, the schedule and where it's all going. So we got a few private things that not everybody can come to, but a lot more summer concerts in the park. So.
Yeah.
Check those out. Yeah.
You perform. I'm going to be there this Thursday night, and you were just there in Vancouver at Esther Short.
Yep,
that always draws a good crowd.
Oh, huge.
I'll be there with Patrick Lamb Thursday night, and it's going to be a fun show.
You'll have a huge crowd
with 102 degree temperature. Hey,
when we played there a couple 3 weeks ago, and it was 96 when we went on stage. So, you know, once it gets up that high, 96, 102.
Doesn't matter. Get out there and perform.
Yeah, yes.
Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts, I wish you the best. I can't wait to work with you again, my friend. You are an incredible band that you guys put together celebrating 40 years. That is totally, totally awesome. And will you come back and let's do this again?
If I'm invited, I'll be here.
You're always invited, my friend.
All right.
That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. We'll be back next week and do this all over again. Take care. Have a great and safe week.
Hi, this is Doc Nelson. You're listening to my buddy, Terry Saul, Saltissimo, on KSLM 104.3 FM or 1220 AM. KSLM, Salem's first radio station.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.